Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of an amazing series of studies, so practical, on stewardship. Today, offerings of gratitude, how others will be blessed and how you will be blessed as well. It's going to be a great blessing, and I'm excited because one of our Hope Sabbath School team will be teaching today. Jason, I always enjoy when you teach the Word of God, and it's going to be a wonderful study, I know. We're glad that you're here with us. In fact, many of you have started teaching interactive, in-depth Bible studies in your area. You go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess, and download the same outline that we're using in our study. We've got tens of thousands of you who are downloading that outline every week. You can make copies, share it with your whole class. It's a wonderful way to study the Bible together. And we're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. Here's just a few emails. Someone asked me, how many emails do you get? The answer is we get lots of them. So we can't guarantee that we'll read all of the emails on our programs. But I just want to thank Bianca. Thank you for writing from Brazil. Anyone from Brazil? No. Anyone been to Brazil? All right. We've got a couple who've been there. Bianca writes, she says, I'm attending Hope Sabbath School and I love studying the Bible with you. Although I do not speak English, I translate everything and do my best to understand it. God protect everyone. This idea of Hope Sabbath School came from God.
Amen.
Well, I believe that because didn't the Bible tell us His Word is a lamp to our feet and a
light
to our path? So I think you're right, Bianca. It did come from God. And we're glad that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Here's a note from a donor in Texas, and it was just so precious. The donor writes and says, I don't know if this is the right address. They sent it to Hope Channel to help Hope Sabbath School Bible study. I'm 70 years old. I don't get too much money, but I've been saving for some time. This is precious. This is talking about not laying up your treasure on earth, but laying it up where? Because where your treasure is, I've been saving for some time, so I just want to make sure this is the right address and I can keep supporting as long as I can. Thank you. God bless. Amen?
Amen.
I just was so touched by that. Just a beautiful email. And thank you from Texas. And if it's someone else in Texas, thank you too for being part. You know, this is a faith-based ministry and we really believe the gospel's got to go how far?
All nations.
It's got to go to all nations and we can't take any treasures with us. So thank you for your generous support. Here's a note from Victor. He's a Kenyan studying in Hungary. Now, I don't know much about Hungarian, but I know it is not an easy European language. And so to go from Kenya and study in Hungary, I would say that's amazing. Victor writes and says, I've been one of those people who's been following keenly Hope Sabbath School. I come from Kenya, but I'm studying in Hungary. My spirituality has grown as I have learned to turn away from evil.
Wow.
So the Bible tells us we should not go in the path of the wicked, but the path of the just is like a shining light that shines ever brighter to the perfect day. So it's good not to turn to evil, but it's also good to turn to the light, isn't it? That's what we're doing here. I finally found a church in this city. I've been an active member. In fact, this week, I'm going to share my testimony. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, it's beautiful. We're not only blessed so that we can feel blessed, but we're blessed to bless,
yes,
to pass on that blessing to others. Here's a note from Gaetano on the little island of Malta.
Wow.
In the Mediterranean Sea. Now, I've never been to Malta. My father went when he was a young lad. But Gaetano writes and he says, I'm writing from Malta, a small island in the Mediterranean Sea, and I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Sometimes I lead out in a Bible study at our church, and I want to thank you for what you teach and do, because our mission on earth is to let others know about our soon-coming King Jesus.
Amen.
That's why we're here. And we're going to talk about how offerings of gratitude are flowing from a heart that has hope and purpose in this life and for the life to come. Here's one last note from Lorraine in the United States of America. Some of you know where that is. I just want to say I absolutely love Hope Sabbath School. I've been watching and studying along with you, and I also have started going back in the archives to past studies. So by the way, if you don't know this, even this series, you say, this is a great series. I'm sorry I missed the first three. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess, and you can watch the entire series on this topic of stewardship and past series. I told you I got an email from someone in Shanghai area in China who had watched 100 hours of interactive Bible studies from finding our website. There is a hunger for the Word of God.
Amen.
A hunger for the Word of God. Lorraine keeps writing, I recently started attending an Adventist church after learning about the Sabbath truth. It's my prayer to be rebaptized soon. I'm 61 years old, and I feel that the light has finally come on, and I understand so much more about the Word of God and how truly precious it is.
Amen.
We call that being born again, right? The light finally came on. Lorraine, thank you. I know God's been leading all of your life, but you're just sensing Him leading you to a deeper understanding of His Word and His will for your life. I also love the scripture songs. I sing them while I'm working or cooking. Thank you for all you do. May God bless you all. Well, Lorraine, we need your help right now. We need you to sing with us. Our theme song for this series is taken from Psalm 9, 3,000 years old, inspired by the Spirit of God. The psalmist wrote, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Let's sing it together.
I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High.
You know, I imagine someday David the psalmist, you know, who became king of Israel, hearing us sing that and say, well, that's not the tune I originally wrote, but I like it because it's joyful when we praise God with all of our hearts. Well, Jason, God bless as we study. Let's pray together and study God's word.
Amen. Please bow your heads as I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today, as we open your word, as we continue looking at practical ways in which we can partner with you, in which we can be more active in the relationship with you, Lord, whether it's with the tangible things, the money you've given us, or the intangible things, our talents, Lord, help that we can learn more fully today, that we can take something from here in order that we may be a blessing to those we come in contact with, whether in our neighborhood or around the world.
Yes.
We thank you. And we ask this all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 In this lesson on stewardship, we've looked a lot at ways that we can give, and we've looked a lot at material possessions. Now, we have looked at intangible things. We know that stewardship includes tangible and intangible. Well, one thing that we haven't looked as much at is how should our attitude be towards our giving, towards our relationship with these things that we have. And so today's lesson, offerings of gratitude, invites us to look at how our hearts are in this matter. And so when you hear the word gratitude, what comes to mind? What do you think of when you hear gratitude? Joshua.
To be thankful for something.
To be thankful. Jonathan.
Yeah, something that kind of comes out of the heart, that just kind of flows out of you as you're in a response to whatever event.
Something that flows out of you as a response. Anyone else on the team, when they hear the word gratitude? Harold.
Well, I think of being joyful. I mean,
joyful.
It's like, I wasn't expecting this, and wow, this is amazing.
All right. So in some way, we know that when we give offerings in this relationship with God, there should be some kind of gratitude, some kind of joy towards that. And so let's actually go and let's look at the offerings and tithe and about how we partner in these tangible and intangible ways with God. Let's go to the book of Malachi, the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 8. And Brittany, if you could read that for us, we're going to read a couple different things about ways that we can partner with God, and then also a little bit sort of on our attitude on this as well.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings.
That's a very interesting verse. There's sort of two different parts there. There's the robbery part, which I want to get to in a little bit here. But first of all, it says there at the end, in tithes and offerings. So as we can see there, if you list two things, they can't be the same thing, right?
Yes.
There's some distinction between them. And so does someone on the team want to tell us, in previous lessons, we've looked at what tithes are, but if someone could tell us, what are tithes, what are offerings? Brittany, I see you have something.
Sure. So in the Bible, it talks about tithe as one-tenth of our increase. So that's tithe. But offering, it talks about as a free will gift, whatever we choose. So tithe is a set amount, and offering is whatever we choose to give to God.
Whatever we choose to give. Anyone else on the team have a way that... Gladys, yes.
When you're grateful for a gift, it's like whatever inspires your heart to give back. Mm. So when we receive from God, like Brittany said, we give the 10th percent. But whenever, when we are health, we may have an abundance of food, we can give to somebody else and we give back to God. God, I'm so thankful. Mm. And we just give it out of the abundance of our heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking one thing that's really a key difference is only the tithe is called holy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The tithe is holy to the Lord.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so we return that. Mm-hmm. The offerings, I like that gratitude, the idea of it just kind of bubbles up, you know.
Yes.
We all remember when we were little and they said, say thank you to Auntie Mabel. Thank you. You know, but gratitude, like mm-hmm. Harold said, it just kind of bubbles up, a joyful, thankful spirit. Mm-hmm. But the offerings are not called holy. They come out of that joyful, thankful spirit. Mm-hmm. The tithe is holy to the Lord, and that's one-tenth of our increase.
And that is an important distinction. God has set the tithe aside. It's a very specific amount. Even though we know 100% of what we have is from God, there's that specific amount He wants us to give back to Him. Now, an interesting thing about this verse, though, it begins by talking about robbery, and it doesn't make a distinction saying robbery only in tithes. It also mm-hmm. talks about offerings here, too. Mm-hmm. But yet, what we're hearing here is offerings are about joy. It's free will. So how can you mm-hmm. be robbing someone if you're not giving something that's free will? Kenneth?
I think God is a God who appreciates when His creatures show appreciation. Mm-hmm. And every day, God does so many wonderful things. But sometimes we become so ungrateful and selfish that instead of showing appreciation to what God has done, we rob Him of that. And that mm-hmm. is what becomes robbing God in our offering. Mm-hmm.
Gladys.
I have two nieces, and they have the same age. They are 2 years old. One of them, she believes that she deserves everything. So when you give her something, she goes, and she walks away. The other one goes, oh, my goodness. And she just wants to hug you and kiss you. So which one will you feel more like, wow, is more grateful? So that's the same thing. Like, God feels like His heart fills with joy mm. when we show that bubbly attitude, mm.
bubbly attitude
with Him.
Joshua.
And I know that we're seeing this in a spiritual, from a spiritual and financial perspective, in that, you know, tithe is the bare minimum in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know, like, obviously, all of it belongs to God. Mm-hmm. But that tithe, we are supposed to return to Him. The offering, as you said before, Pastor, it bubbles up and you just have to share it. Like, and really and truly, one thing I see also is that we can offer not just our money, but our time, mm-hmm. our efforts. It's one thing to say, oh, yeah, God, you've been pretty good to me. Let me put some more money in that plate. But it's another thing to say, God, you have been so good. I need to give a Bible study to someone. I need to go share some you with someone else. So I don't think we should limit it solely to finances. Mm-hmm.
Joshua brings us back to the point that stewardship is not just about the tangible, but also the intangible.
That's right.
Jonathan.
Yeah, just the idea that, I mean, it's bubbling up, you know, but it also, I think it's an opportunity for us to be invested in what God is about. And so I think it's not just an emotional thing. It's also a thing of how much are we invested in what God is invested in, the poor, his work, et cetera. So we're stealing from him if we're not invested in actually monetarily giving.
Harold.
I just wanted to reiterate. I believe I heard it in a previous lesson that actually offering is actually, if we are robbing offering, it's like we are robbing God for an opportunity to bless us. So actually, again, all of this is for us to be blessed. God doesn't need; He owns all of these things. He just entrusted us to take care of it. But in the end, He wants to teach us a lesson. And it is all about relationship with Him.
So tithes are part of the relationship, but so is offering also part of the relationship. And not participating in the offering is missing out on the opportunity, even robbing ourselves of the blessing that we could have. Yes. Now, we have to move on and look at the greatest giver and one of the greatest gifts, because we were talking about offerings, we're talking about giving, and there's an awesome passage. It's possibly the most famous passage in the entire Bible. It's John 3:16. And Melina, if you'd be able to read that for us, we read about the character of God, because we're talking about gifts, and even though, yes, we've been looking at ourselves, we also need to look at God, and how does He play a role here in the giving process?
I will be reading out of the New King James Version, John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen. 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 All right, so what is the active verb there? What did God do?
Gave.
Gave. And who did He give? I sort of see, how many gifts do you see in here?
Actually, there's a verb before gave, right?
Love,
right?
Love,
yes.
Love.
So, and I think that's something that we've learned in the series too, is that our giving and our loving are all connected together.
Yes. And then what gifts do you see here? What is the gifts that God gave us here in John 3:16?
His Son.
He gave us His Son.
Eternal life.
Eternal life, salvation. So the Son and eternal life. And I don't know about you, but in a way, this is kind of the ultimate gift. It's almost like God is the ultimate gift giver.
That's right.
And then, so any offerings that we're giving or anything, it's sort of in response to the love. It's, we're told, you know, we love Him because He has first loved us, and we see this here in John 3:16, the reference to that. God loves, and then we respond. And there's, He didn't only give us His Son, He also gave us another gift, and we can see that in Luke. Gary, if you could go there, Luke chapter 11, verse 13. So He gave us His Son, He's given us salvation, and He's also given us another neat gift.
Okay. And I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible, Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?
So Jesus is making a reference here. He's saying, these people, you know, we're humans, we are evil, we do bad things, and yet even people who do bad things still can give good gifts. Then He says, how much more our Heavenly Father? And we know He's given salvation, we know He's given His Son, and what else has He given us here?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Now, how is the Holy Spirit a gift? What does the Holy Spirit help us do? Stephanie.
Guides us into all truth.
Guides us into all truth. Brittany.
He's our comforter.
Our comforter, Joshua.
He blesses us with the fruits of the Spirit.
Blesses us with the fruits of the Spirit. And so, in a way, you can see the Holy Spirit is very helpful in our day-to-day life. It's a very practical gift of having the Holy Spirit. And so we see the character of our Father, the great gift giver. And so then because he's the ultimate gift giver, how do we respond? How should we be in giving? And Paul has an interesting passage in 2 Corinthians. And Joshua, if you could read that for us, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, we're going to look at how should our attitude be. We've looked at God. We see how he's the ultimate gift giver. And then how do we respond in return?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver."
Amen. All right, so we have verse 6 there, talking about sowing sparingly, reaping sparingly, sowing bountifully, reaping bountifully. So then, if I only give a little bit, I'm only going to be blessed a little bit, and I give a lot, I'm going to be blessed a lot? Is that what that verse is saying?
Yes.
So if I give lots of money, God's going to bless me a lot. And if I only have a little bit, Nicole, yes, I see the team has some thoughts.
I think it goes to the intention of our giving. And if we're giving because of our relationship with Christ, then we're blessed because of that relationship, not because of the material things we give, but because we're giving because he's given to us.
Right. But yes, Joshua.
The word a lot, well, words, the words a lot, it's really in proportion to who you are. So just as the same woman that had the two mites, to her, that was a lot. Mm-hmm. But to someone else, that's nothing. Mm-hmm. So, and also, it's not just limited to money once again, but it says he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And so even when we go out and we're doing the work of the gospel, the more we do, the greater of an impact we have. Mm-hmm. And when we do a little bit, the smaller an impact that we have.
Mm-hmm. Gary.
I would like to caveat that with the verse 7, what's in your heart? Mm-hmm. Because I could sow bountifully because I want a big return, mm-hmm. or because I want to mm-hmm. be popular, mm-hmm. right, in a field or something, but yet that's not, my motives are wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm. Stephanie.
I guess I'm going to go back to the previous verses of Jesus' example. And what struck me in John 3:16 is that God loved, mm-hmm. therefore he gave.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. When we love him, we're not thinking about that return, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Our motive is, God, you gave everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything that I can do for you, that's what I'll give because I love you.
Gladys.
Yeah, it's the same like when Jesus was talking about at the end of time, there will be two groups. He will say, because I was hungry and you fed me. And they said, when did we do that? Mm. You know, they were not aware, just like Stephanie was saying, they were not aware that they were doing this for Christ. So when you are doing things out of love, it's not of what you're going to get back. Yeah. You just give.
Mm-hmm. Now, in verse 7 there, it says at the end, God loves a cheerful giver. Mm-hmm. So now we can be clear. Does God only love a cheerful giver? What about if someone doesn't give quite so joyfully? Does God still love them?
Yes.
He loves everyone.
He loves everyone.
He loved the world.
But by being a cheerful giver, they're able to more participate and receive his love? Mm-hmm.
I wonder if God loves a cheerful attitude. I mean,
yes.
He loves all of his children.
Right, yes.
But he loves that cheerful attitude because it's actually a blessing to the giver. Mm-hmm. When I give out of that joyful response to his goodness and his love, mm-hmm. I think he looks at that much like Gladys mentioned, was it a...
My two nieces.
Your two nieces, yeah. The joy that actually not only Gladys experiences when the one niece goes, oh, gives you hugs, but she also experiences a lot of a blessing in that response. So I think God loves that kind of attitude. And I think he's sad if we're kind of grudging or out of obligation because we're missing
right.
out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nicole.
But think of your own relationships. You want to give more to someone who actually appreciates what you're giving them. Mm-hmm. And so you really, although you would give to someone who's begrudgingly taking it or receiving it, you just feel kind of closer to someone who's like, oh, I appreciate what you're giving me. Thank you. Yeah. So I just think of my own relationships and how I want to be with someone else who I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Travis.
Well, I was just thinking early in the verse when he said, will a man rob God? And then putting in the context, does God love somebody who's not cheerfully giving? We're maybe not even, in a sense, robbing God of monetary things, but he wants to bless us. Mm-hmm. And so when we're not giving cheerfully, he can't bless us, and we're robbing him of that opportunity, and it just saddens his heart.
Mm-hmm. And robbing ourselves, as we saw. Mm-hmm. We're interrupting, in a way, the relationship, mm-hmm. that love back and forth that God has bestowed on us, and we can return as well. Now, God loves cheerful givers, but we also know God loves grumpy givers, those who maybe not as joyfully. And those who don't give at all, God still loves them too, because God loves all of us.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
But how does God feel? Does God feel the same way about someone who's a grumpy giver versus someone who doesn't give anything? Is that the same thing? And I like to think, for example, let's say we have Happy Derek Hare, who gives $100, and Grumpy Jason, who gives $100. In terms of material wealth, that's equal. We're giving the same amount. Mm-hmm. But yet, is there some distinction there in God's eyes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think God, like someone said, when God is excited about what is going on in our hearts, he wants us to have our hearts warmed and transformed by beholding him, by seeing his goodness and being connected to him. So that doesn't happen when you're grumpy.
Brittany.
I think about what we've been talking about here, and a verse comes to mind. I'm not sure where it's found, but it talks about how God waters both the just and the unjust, and he does good to all. And then thinking about, you know, someone who's giving out of joy and the other who's giving out of, you know, obligation. And what I think the difference is one is reflecting God's character and showing the world this is who God is. He gave his son cheerfully, willingly, joyfully for us. And I think that's what makes him so happy, is saying, that's my child, and they're showing somebody else who I am.
Beautiful.
Instead of the other person who they're still giving, but they're not reflecting his character at the same time.
Kenneth.
Yeah, there's a text I don't want us to read, but maybe I can give a summary about when you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, about the Macedonians. Paul talked about something they did. At the top, it says, excel in giving. I think that is the sense that God wants us to have. We should excel. Even in their poverty, these people were abounded with joy and were more than willing to give. But Paul made a statement. He said they first gave themselves, and then they give their gift. Mm-hmm. You know, a cheerful giver is someone who has already given themselves to God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So it becomes automatic for them to give the other gifts to God. But if a person's a grumpy, that means they haven't given themselves to God. Mm-hmm. So they want to hold other things from God.
Stephanie.
Powerful.
I guess I was thinking on the same line, in that God must be sad because he realized that we have a divided heart.
Yes.
We're not 100% with him.
So he loves us, but he wants us to give him the full heart, not just the 10%, but 100%. Mm-hmm. And that 10%, that tithe is expressed within the offerings as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking, I really appreciated what Brittany said about revealing the beautiful character of God. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of what Jesus said about you're the light of the world, you know? Yeah. And when they see that light, they give glory to the Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's not about us.
That's right.
That's dropping the money from a big height so people can see it. You know, mm-hmm. Jesus talks about that too. Don't do that. But how beautiful when we give our offerings with a joyful heart, that people say, that looks like the character of God.
Mm. There's also this idea, some people give because they feel obligated. You know, we talk about commandments, and they feel commanded to give. So how does God feel about that? I mean, it does say here in verse 7, not only not grudgingly, so not grumpy, but also not necessarily out of necessity either. So how does God feel with someone who gives because they feel they're required to, whether it's to earn salvation or some specific reason, rather than out of cheerfulness? Mm. Kenneth.
I believe in the heart of God. God is like, I wish this my son or my daughter could understand the spirit of giving. You know, I think that's how God feel like maybe one day this person will come to see what is taking.
Gladys.
We already have said that the giving is not for God's benefit. He doesn't need. He owns everything. It is our benefit. So if it's just a checklist, we miss out in the whole storehouse of blessing that God has for us. We shut the window that God is willing to give to us.
Travis.
I think of the story of Ananias and Sapphira. That's how God feels about people who give out of obligation.
He can appreciate the gift, but what he cares more about is not necessarily the gift, but the attitude towards the gift and the attitude towards the giving. So then what would you say to someone, they might come up to you and says, I do give, but I'm not always happy about giving. How can I have a more cheerful attitude? How can I be a cheerful giver? Let's make this practical. Mm-hmm. What can we do? What would you say to someone? Brittany.
First, it starts with remembering what God has already given to us. I think we can't be grateful and giving back to him if we don't first realize he gave us salvation, he gave us his son, and he's giving us eternity with him.
Harold.
Actually, could I read two verses?
Sure.
It's in 2 Corinthians.
All right, give us a moment to find it, let's go.
Chapter 5.
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Verses 14 and 15.
2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, and you can read that for us.
Yes, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version.
All right.
It says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again.
Amen.
And Jesus even mentioned, you know, what greater love, you know, does a friend can show when he sacrifices his life for his friend? And obviously the response of the other friend is like, I owe my life to you too. Because you demonstrated this so much love for me, very undeserving, a person that doesn't deserve it. And yet you showed me so much kindness. And this is a reflection, again, of God's character, as Brittany mentioned that. God wants us to like reflect that because other people have a misunderstanding about God. And that's the problem in this world.
Nicole?
I was going to say, for me, I have to first ask the Lord to help me to love. Because if I don't love, I'm not going to be cheerful. And so I have to ask him, seriously, help me to love and teach me your love so I can reflect that when I give. Because and it's not just money, but just giving him my time, everything. I'm like, if I don't ask the Lord for that relationship and that love, I'm going to be an ungrateful giver.
Laurel.
One thing that I thought about nurturing a cheerful giver is understanding like where the offering is going to and like having that, like what we could do is like teach people like, okay, so this offering is going to go to this Christian school that we have. And we'll think about all the kids and how they can have a good education because this offering will go to that. And then something inside of you will be like, oh, this is for children. They will have a good education and they'll have good Christian teachers. Maybe I should give so they can have that opportunity and chance.
So we may have a role in sharing with other people information. And then as they hear that, they'll want to respond not just out of obligation, but out of a sense of cheerfulness. Yes, Gladys.
In my class, I always have a mission project for my class. I teach kindergarten. This is 5 years old. So trying to convince a little child that they have to give is a very heavy task. But what I do is just like Laura just said, I just show them a video and I said to them, look how children are. You know, they don't have shoes or they don't have food or they don't have this. And by the end of the presentation, they were like, okay, what can we give? You know, and every year my the project is successful and they're so happy to help.
Amen. All right, so we want to move to another passage where Jesus talks about treasure in heaven. And so, Stephanie, if you could read for us where Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, he makes this reference to treasure in heaven. And so read for us what Jesus says here, and then let's discuss what he means, what he's talking about, and how we can apply this to our own lives.
All right, and the King James Version says it this way: lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we have three different verses there, and I like to divide them up because I see each verse having a little bit of a different theme or idea. 19 seems quite clear. Don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth. Verse 20, so what do you do and respond? Treasure in heaven. Mm-hmm. And then 21 ties it all together. Why?
Where your treasure is. That's
where your treasure is, there your heart will be. All right. And in previous lessons, we've talked a lot about laying up treasures on earth, but I think it's still good to go back, especially if someone is joining us for the first time, and understand what does that mean. So if someone could tell me real quickly, what does it mean to lay up treasure on earth? Who on the team wants to share what that means? Okay, Brittany, yes.
It's living what we call here the American dream, where you're just living for you and your family's benefit, and you're just, you know, wanting to have a good job, have a good full bank account, have a nice house, be comfortable. And you're just thinking on the temporary rather than anything after that.
Nicole.
I think it's accumulating stuff instead of accumulating him. And so it's just living this world of get, take. And it's all about me.
All right. So we have treasure on earth is focusing on ourselves, focusing on our stuff, our material possessions. But yet, what we're told, what are we told to do? We're told to lay up treasure in heaven. What does that mean? What is laying up treasure in heaven? Are we supposed to get our names on bricks in churches by giving donations? Is that the way we're laying up treasure in heaven? Gladys.
I think that when we lay out treasures in heaven, we're following the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. We're making sure that our time and our tithe, our offering, everything that we do is with that in mind, in purpose, that whatever we spend our money or our whatever treasure we have is with that goal in mind to fulfill God's commission to us. Mm-hmm.
Jonathan.
I was thinking, taking this accounting course where they talked about you had one return on an investment, like you invest in something and you get so much money back.
Yes.
And then they changed to a new theory idea where you have a benefit on investment. So you may give some money and then you may kind of calculate like, yes, we're not going to get this money back, but there will be such and such benefits to the community, to whatever, so at a bigger scale. So I think some of what this is calling us to do is to count the worth of what we're giving from an eternal point of view. Mm. Like, what is really going to matter from an eternal perspective, and to use our money now for what will give the greatest value in eternity.
Kenneth.
My wife usually have a term he calls his heavenly credit. You know, whenever we are doing stuff, he says, this is heavenly credit. You know, if you think about this, the entire world and all the possession in it, it cannot be compared to the possession that is found in the universe of God.
Amen.
Okay, so, and besides, God has given us Christ, and Christ is more than anything. So laying up treasure in heaven is becoming a partner in the work that God wants us to do, in the things and then the riches that God wants to impact to the universe.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Brittany.
Think about God's treasures, and in the scriptures it talks about us being his treasures. And so when we're laying up treasures in heaven, we're sharing him with others so that they can be in heaven one day too.
Amen.
Wow, so has something to do with not focusing on ourselves here. We know that laying up treasure on earth, but looking at the eternal, whether it's someone's salvation, whether it's caring about our communities, different people, having an end goal in mind that's greater than ourselves, greater than just what we see around us. Mm-hmm. And so someone may come to you and say, all right, so I know what it means to lay up treasure in heaven, but again, what about the practical? How do I actually do that? How do I lay up treasure? Is it simply a mindset I need to change? Are there certain acts I need to do? How does this happen? Travis.
I just think of the parable of the talents. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a perfect example. You know, God has given to each one of us talents or knowledge, so to speak. We're to share what we've seen and heard with others.
Mm. Kenneth.
Yeah, one practical thing I do personally is every week I have time I dedicate to do something for God. Mm-hmm. You know, apart from doing it with my church or my community of belief. And also, wherever I find myself, be it work or even any neighborhood we move to, I make the salvation of my neighbors and my fellow workers a priority to me, because I don't think it's an accident that God led me there. So I take it upon myself to help them. My conversation with them are heavenly conversation, not just about talking about sports. There's a place for that.
Laurel.
So I like how we live for, you know, in order to lay up treasure in heaven is to invest in the relationships we have with each other. Like Brittany said earlier was, you know, if we are God's treasure, then we want to bring our friends and the people we meet who may not know God to heaven with us, because that's what we can bring. We can't bring money, but we can bring our coworkers and our students, for those of us who are teachers, to heaven. So we need to, like, take the time to share God.
So laying up treasure in heaven can be even the person right next to us, sitting right next to us, caring about their good. Mm-hmm. We have to move on, and we need to look at a couple stories. We don't have time to read them, but someone on the team, if they want to summarize, there's a story in Luke 18 about a rich young ruler, and there's a story in the next chapter, Luke 19, about a man named Zacchaeus. So is there someone on the team who can summarize for me in about 30 seconds or so the story of the rich young ruler? Who on the team can summarize this story very quickly for me? Travis.
He came to Jesus saying, I've done all this. I've kept the commandments. I've done all this. What can I do that I may inherit the kingdom? And so he's looking. He has a whole list of things that he's done. But his treasure was in his possessions, and Jesus knew that. And he said, if you need to go and give everything you have away, and then come follow me.
Give everything. All right. And then there's a story of a man named Zacchaeus in the next chapter, Gladys.
Yes, Zacchaeus. He was a very rich man. Mm-hmm. And he was also a thief because he was taking money from his job, you know, and everybody knew. But when he heard that Jesus was coming, he wanted to see him. Mm-hmm. And everybody, I guess, was wondering why would he want to see him. But he was so short, he had to climb up a tree to see Jesus. And Jesus saw him when he was passing by. He said, come, I want to go to your house. Mm-hmm. And salvation went into his house because of Jesus' visit.
Mm-hmm. And how did he respond? What did Jesus tell him to do? Did Jesus tell him to give away everything he owned?
Jesus didn't do that. Mm-hmm. But he just felt that compelled to do it because of the love he saw in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And he did. He gave away half to the poor and repaid what he had done wrong. Now, notice there's a distinction here. So the rich young ruler, as Travis told us, Jesus asked him to give away everything. But with Zacchaeus, he had him repay, but he didn't have him give away everything. Mm-hmm. So why this difference here? Harold.
Well, for the rich young ruler, actually his security or his master was his riches. I mean, it does say in the verses that he had many possessions. That's why he couldn't, like, follow what Jesus commanded or even said. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where his safety net was that. Mm-hmm.
Derek, you had something you wanted to share.
You know, I was just thinking in another term, in other terms besides money, if your motorcycle comes between you and God, he may ask you to get rid of your motorcycle.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That happened to one of our team members here on Hope Sabbath School. If a relationship with a boyfriend or girlfriend is surpassing the relationship with God, obstacle, God may ask you to walk away from that relationship. So but in both of those and in this, the ultimate goal for God is our salvation. So it's like, if this is getting in the way, doesn't Jesus say somewhere, and this is a hyperbole, but you know, if your eye offends you, you pluck it out. If your hand, he's not speaking literally there, but he's saying, don't let anything hinder you from that relationship with me that will be a saving and eternal one.
And this principle is universal. It's not necessarily about the specific amount or what the item is. It may be different for each of us, but whatever it is that is keeping us from the relationship or growing in the relationship, that is something that maybe that needs to be cast aside so that we can grow in that relationship with Jesus. Amen. And Hebrews tells us that when we have a living relationship with Jesus, it affects how we relate to our earthly treasure. Mm-hmm. And so, Gladys, if you could read for us Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 34, how does this relationship with Jesus, how does it affect how we relate to those possessions that we have?
I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 34. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. And sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffer along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you own was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever.
Amen. Mm. When all you known, everything you owned, it was taken away from you. Mm. This is clearly an example of people who were storing up treasure. So what does the verse say? How did they respond? What were their actions like? What was their attitude towards these difficult situations? Mm. Any words there that stuck out for you? Kenneth, I see you've got something.
They were joyful.
They were joyful. Mm-hmm. So when we care less about our earthly treasure and we store up treasure in heaven, we'll be joyful. Mm-hmm. Anything else in how they may have treated, you know, different people as well in here?
Compassion.
Harold, compassion, yes. Yeah. So we'll be joyful. We will have compassion for people. It affects, in a practical way, how we live our lives.
Yes.
And we've talked about material possessions, but we also have the tangible things, but there's also the intangible as well. We have non-monetary offerings that we can give. And so, team, this is a chance for you, whether it's something, a specific verse you can think of, or whether it's something from your experience, what is an intangible way, a non-monetary way, that you've been able to participate with God in giving an offering? Mm-hmm. Brittany.
I remember one time when I was in Peru, I was on a mission trip and we were doing a medical clinic, and there was a young boy who came to the clinic and he had a disease that was covering his body with sores. And I heard about his story a little bit more, that he had been rejected by his parents. I'm not sure if they had passed away or they didn't want him. And his uncle was taking care of him. And when I saw him in his condition, he had his head down, he just looked so sad and discouraged, and I was just thinking, what can I do to encourage this little boy? And we were there and on this trip, and it was raining a lot, and I had a rain jacket that I was wearing, and the Lord put it on my heart, you need to give him your rain jacket. Mm-hmm. And I was going to be there for another week, and I was thinking, what am I going to do the rest of this week if I give this boy my rain jacket? And I kind of brushed it aside, but the conviction kept coming back until I finally said, okay, Lord, I'll give him my rain jacket. And when I did, I saw him like huddle in it, and you know, he was getting comfort and warmth, and I just pray that gift, you know, showed him some of God's love. And I know that it made a huge difference in my heart because I realized how much God loves us.
Amen. Both the tangible and the intangible. Nicole.
Well, I think we have an opportunity here in this situation to share our testimony, because we always hear from the emails that say, we really appreciate your testimony, because I think that it really makes people understand that we're like everyone else. We're struggling. We're trying to get this relationship right with God. And so our testimony is a way that we can offer a non-monetary offering to those who are around.
And I believe there's also a verse that talks about that. If Nicole, if you want to read that verse for us, it's in 1 Peter 2:9. You've shared with us the practical, but let's also read it from the Word of God as well. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
Okay. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 from the New International Version says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Amen. Amen.
That's what you're doing. You're sharing that praise. He's called you out of darkness, called you into the wonderful, marvelous light, and that's what we can do in sharing our testimony. What else can we do? How else? Yes, Laurel.
One way that we can share a testimony, you said?
Sure, or share intangible offerings, ways that we can participate with God.
Oh, one of the things I was going to share was using our spiritual gifts for God, which could be, you know, related to our testimony. But our spiritual gifts could be singing, or it could be preaching, it could be teaching, it could be many things that I, you know, haven't listed here. But taking that time to do those things is a way to give offering to God through your gifts, and as well time.
There's also a verse on that as well, if you could read for us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. What does the Bible say related to spiritual gifts?
All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, 1 Peter 4, 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Amen.
And that's what we can do. We can share the gifts that God has given us. Some people may be better at teaching, some people at healing, whatever gifts God has given. Any other intangible or other ways? Yes, Joshua.
I love to share new concepts that I've learned. The one that has fascinated me most recently, I was discussing it with Stephanie earlier, is called minimalism. Mm-hmm. And it's actually directly related to what we're studying now. And it's amazing that people who aren't even Christians are now excited about the fact that they can disconnect themselves from being obsessed about material things. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is a biblical concept. Mm-hmm. And most of the people who are so, you know, engaged in it and passionate about it aren't even Christians. Mm-hmm. And so it goes to show that if we are to embrace or share ideas that have impacted our lives, that say, you know what? Hey, have you heard about this idea? I feel so good now. I don't have all these things to worry about. And then that person says, wow, I would love to feel like that. Share new concepts, share new ideas that are even biblical in the same way.
So your own mini version of an in-depth interactive Bible study? Sharing a sort of version of a Hope Sabbath School with another person, someone who doesn't even know about Hope Sabbath School.
Right, right.
Yes, Derek.
You know, I was thinking, Jason, of my wife, and because she doesn't normally come onto the program, but a non-monetary offering that she gives is she writes scripture, composes scripture songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's very much part of her personal worship, mm-hmm. part of her personal walk with God. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she can then share it, like the one we just sang on Hope Sabbath School, is also an offering. It's an offering to the Hope Sabbath School members, but it's also an offering to God. Mm-hmm. So I think, as Laurel said earlier, it's not the same for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, you know, gifts, resources that may not be monetary, intangible resources, mm-hmm. that can be offered to God, saying, God, you know, I'm good at organizing. Mm-hmm. You know, show me how I could bring that as an offering to you. Mm-hmm. And it might be that someone says, we're going on a mission trip. We need someone for logistics. You know, they're not preaching, but they're logistics. Yeah. And so I think it's beautiful that guided by the Spirit, that each one of us can bring intangible offerings to God. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's an attitude we should have. Jesus gives us a little guidance in Matthew chapter 6. And Jonathan, if you could read that for us. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, what do our offerings say about the way we give? How does this reveal our relationship with Jesus? And again, more, what should our attitude be in this giving?
All right, I'll be reading from the New International Version. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, Do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
So when we give, it shouldn't be a great show. It shouldn't be about ourselves. But who should it be about?
Jesus.
And then one last quick verse. Laurel, if you could take us there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. There's one last important principle that Paul tells us we should pay attention to when we're talking about giving, when we're talking about offerings. And so, Laurel, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 13 and 14, what does Paul share for us? What is the practical advice he has for us?
I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, 2 Corinthians 13 and 14. For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality. At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality.
All right, so what is that key word there?
Equality.
Equality. Those who have a lot, give to those who have a little. And if you have a little, you don't have to. Yes, it's beautiful that you give everything, but it's good also if someone who has a lot is able to help you out as well. Nicole, you had one last point.
I just have one thing that I just came to my heart, really, is that the most important thing that we can offer is the love and knowledge of Jesus Christ to the world. And so for us, I think it's just important for us to know that within everything we do, our gifts, our testimony, it's offering that love of Jesus so the whole world will know who he is.
Amen. And I'd like to challenge you, if you're watching, ask God if there is something he would like you to give, a way you can participate in blessing with him.
Amen.
Thanks so much, Jason. Offerings of gratitude. Great study. We're glad you were with us for our study today. And there's something God might want you to do, not because you have to. God wants you to do it cheerfully, that thankful heart because of his amazing love, all of the gifts, including the greatest gift of all, salvation through Jesus. So just let that thankfulness flow out in offerings of gratitude to others and also to him. Let's pray we can be those kind of cheerful givers, not only to God, but to those around us. Father in heaven, what a difference this study is from our cultures that just think about acquiring possessions for ourselves. Thank you because we catch a glimpse of how much you love us and how much you have given, that we can indeed be cheerful givers, both tangible and intangible gifts to you and to those around us. May lives be blessed forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. Thanks for the study, Jason. We're challenged to continue to be connected with Jesus and out of the love he's shown to us, be cheerful givers to him and to those around us.